and welcome to the Fit Chicks and Hormones podcast, where we offer suggestions and information about balancing your hormones naturally so that you can start taking action today. I'm excited to be here today with you, sharing my experiences and the experiences of my clients in hopes that you will learn so much about how you should truly feel when you take the action steps to a life full of hormone harmony. Yesterday, we talked about the movement piece, why strength training is so important to your hormones and helping with weight loss as you're in those menopausal years. And just so you know, when I talk about menopause, because I say menopause in a general manner, but there's perimenopause, which is right at the beginning, probably your late 30s to your early 40s. There is menopause, which usually hits around late 40s to like your early 50s, maybe mid 50s, and then there's postmenopause. And menopause itself is just a day, because it's when you go from having a cycle to not having a cycle. So it's like one day. And it's usually kind of a tough transition for people. Anyway, so that's just a little education on all the menopause parts if you aren't sure. So, okay. Hope you're enjoying these trainings as I talk about the things that are affecting our hormones and keeping us from losing weight, because I find that this is the number one thing that most women are struggling with. There's tons of things. There's other, so many things that are happening when we're in those perimenopausal and menopausal years. You're not sleeping. You don't have good energy. You have brain fog. You have aches and pains in your body. You have digestive issues. And maybe you have like PMS or your cycle's all weird or heavy, whatever it may be. But the number one thing that most women are focused on is they are struggling to lose weight. So that's kind of where I'm trying to address as I'm going through these days and let you know what you can do to help with that weight loss. I'm also sharing some takeaways. So there's also been some great things. If you haven't heard the first 2 days, go back and listen. Take notes. There's stuff on there that you can start implementing today that are going to help you and benefit you and make you feel better. And to teach you how to learn how to work with your hormones versus against them and then start to see that weight loss come off. So if you're here, please hashtag I'm here. Or if you're watching in the replay, hashtag replay. I really appreciate seeing actually how many people are tuning in and watching and joining me as I do these trainings. So today we're talking about day 3, and we're talking about sleeping your way into weight loss, how poor sleep hinders progress in menopause. So ironically, this is coming after I had a horrible night of sleep last night. I've been sleeping really good for about a week. I'm not sure what I did differently last night. Maybe it's just a fluke, but hoping I get better sleep tonight. And as someone who went through about 6+ months, I don't even know exactly how long it was because I was in such a fog, of averaging only about 4 hours of sleep a night, trying to run a business. It was horrible. That was when I was living in a moldy house. I was exposed to mold and it screwed my hormones up so badly that yeah, my sleep was 4 hours a night. That's all I could get. So now my sleep is a priority over my workouts, over my nutrition, over everything, because I never, ever want to go back to that place of getting 4 hours of sleep again, because I was a zombie. I was just barely getting by doing all the things, but it was absolutely miserable and I don't wish that on anyone. So this is why I want to talk about sleep and why it's important, not only to your overall health, but if you're struggling to lose weight. So sleep plays a crucial role in overall health and well-being. And it's even more critical during menopause when managing weight can be challenging. Remember I talked about in the last couple of days, those hormones are dropping. When those hormones are dropping, our body is just kind of trying to figure out what it's supposed to do. And here's how poor sleep disrupts your hormones. It increases stress. It leads to unhealthy food choices and it keeps you from losing weight. Sleep regulates your melatonin production. I don't know if you know, melatonin is a hormone, and that hormone is the one that promotes sleep and influences other hormonal cycles. Inconsistent sleep cycles or inadequate sleep duration causes havoc with your melatonin, causing issues with other hormones. The stress hormone cortisol. Now, if you've heard me speak about this, you know that I talk about cortisol a lot. When our sleep is compromised, when you are not getting good sleep, your cortisol levels are going up. They are rising. And elevated cortisol triggers the body to store fat, primarily store fat, and particularly around your belly area. So if you're struggling to get rid of that belly, it's because of your spiking cortisol because you're not sleeping or stress that we're going to talk about tomorrow. And that's where we get that menopausal belly, right? Here's the thing. As your hormones are dropping, as your estrogen is dropping, like you talked about the other day, it does store fat on your belly. But sometimes a little bit of this is also to keep our bodies healthy. I know it's not what you want to hear, but it's actually to protect your body, to protect your organs. So a little bit of fat there is actually healthy for you as you age. Not saying you can't get rid of it, but a little bit there is kind of good for you in a way. Also, when our sleep is off, what happens when we don't sleep? We want to eat junk, right? So it affects our ghrelin and our leptin, which are our hunger, or which are the hormones that regulate our hunger and our satiety. So poor sleep elevates the ghrelin, which is the hunger hormone, making you feel hungrier, making you want to eat more. And it suppresses leptin, which is your satiety hormone, telling you you're full, making it harder to feel full, potentially leading to overeating. And most of us are not going to overeat healthy foods. Am I right? So I've experienced this today. Just not sleeping well. I wake up and I'm tired and I want to eat junk. I want to eat sugar. I want something. I want caffeine. I want something that's going to help make me feel better and give me more energy. But knowing that it's only going to make things worse, I've avoided it today. I actually got a little bit of a nap, not much, but so that's what happens. And then we eat junk and we eat more junk and we eat more junk and it increases it instead it keep increases our cravings. And what do we choose? Sugary foods, fatty foods, processed foods, because what happens when we eat those, right? We feel good. It boosts our neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin. These are our feel good hormones, and we want to feel good because we're tired and we just don't feel good. But what happens when we do that? So when we drink the caffeine or we have the sugary foods, the donut, the whatever, the pizza, we feel good for a minute, but then we crash even harder than when we started. And those foods that we just consumed are storing on our body as fat, which again, leading to us not losing the weight. And another thing that happens when we don't sleep well is it can lead to mood swings and irritability. Right? Raise your hand if that's you. Yep. Like today, my husband was trying to have a conversation with me when I got home from work. And I'm like, I am irritable. I don't want to talk. I don't want to listen. I just need to go take a nap. I need to lay down. I'm just not in the mood. Right? And then what do we want to do to feel better? We want to eat junk. So it's like this vicious cycle. When you don't sleep, it just affects so much of our life. Excuse me. That emotional eating is something that we talked about on Monday that spirals out of control. Excuse me. And it's a coping mechanism, right? It's also, we're going to talk about this tomorrow when we talk about stress, because a lot of us turn to food to make us feel better, whether we're not sleeping, whether we're moody, whether we're angry, whether we're sad, whether we're stressed out. So food is something that is really important for you to pay attention to. And these moods, like what is happening? Why am I so hungry? Why do I want to eat this food? Is it because I'm sad? Is it because I'm so tired? So tired. Is it because I'm stressed out? So listening to your body is super important. And when we're consuming all the bad foods, we're not able to lose weight. So I've just kind of touched base on, hormones dropping, causing us to not sleep. Maybe you're waking up with hot flashes. Maybe you're just not able to fall asleep. Maybe you're waking up in the middle of the night because of blood sugar rising because you ate that ice cream right before you went to bed because you were tired, right? Here's what you can do to get good sleep. When you get good sleep, you're going to feel better. You're going to have better energy. You're going to have better mental clarity. You're going to start to see that weight fall off. Get rid of that belly fat too. So this is what I teach my clients. First, you need to establish a nighttime routine. Okay? And this can look different for everyone. But what that means is you need to, because you want to try to get 7 to 9 hours of sleep, What you need to do is count back from the time that you have to wake up 9 hours. Okay. I get up at 6 o'clock, so my lights go off at 9 o'clock at night. That is lights out. 9 hours from the time you have to get up, the time you the lights are off should be 9 hours. That's lights out, go to bed. If you're nowhere close to that, start adding in an extra 30 minutes, for a couple days or a week, and then another 30 minutes until you get closer to that 9 hours that you're actually in bed. Because by being in bed for 9 hours, this is going to ensure that you at least get 7 hours, especially if you're waking up throughout the night. So I do toss and turn. I wake up a lot throughout the night. Most nights I'm able to fall right back to sleep. Excuse me. But if I was only in bed for 6 hours and I was up throughout the night for an hour, I'm only getting 5 hours of sleep. That's just not good. It's not good for your health. It's not good for your hormones, and it's not good for weight loss. So I want you to think of this as well. Your nighttime routine doesn't start just when you're going to bed. It should start as soon as you're done eating your last meal of the day, which should be about 2 hours before you go to bed, because you want your food to be able to digest. If you're jumping into bed right after eating, your body's trying to digest, you can't go to sleep, right? So that's just a good rule of thumb. What you want to do is also dim the lights. So minimal lights that you want to use. We have a Himalayan salt lamp that we use downstairs. We keep our kitchen light on. So we have a kitchen, dining room, like TV room, all connected. So it's all open. So we keep the kitchen light on when we're watching TV, because then it's darker in that room. If I go into the kitchen, I turn on the dining room TV, the dining room light. It drives my husband crazy, but I don't want those bright lights on my eyes right before I'm going to be going right to bed. So dim the lights. Keep the lights as the least amount of lights on as possible. Use, like I said, some candlelight or Himalayan salt lamps if you can throughout the house. Also, get a pair of blue blocking glasses. If you're going to be on your phone, if you're going to be watching TV, if you're going to be on a tablet, they all emit this blue light that affects our melatonin levels, keeping us from falling asleep. So if you're having trouble falling asleep, pay attention to that. Are you on your phone right before you go to bed? Are you watching TV, having that blue light? You have the bright lights in your kitchen, in your house, as you're watching TV. Put them on as soon as the sun goes down. You can get a pair of these on Amazon for around $20 to $25. They're not actually, you could probably get like three pair of them for $25. I even have a pair of blue blocking reading glasses right here. I don't like to use them when I'm on here because it reflects off of the light. In case I do want to look at my phone. So I have some blue blocking readers for reading. Then they also have just blue blocking glasses for when I'm watching TV. Put those on as soon as the sun goes down so that doesn't affect your melatonin levels, allowing you to fall asleep when you actually do go to bed. Also, on your phone, you can turn down the light, turn down the screen brightness, or use a blue light app to dim your screen. And it should be set on a timer and it should automatically come on. I know my Google phone does it automatically. It just, I can see it, the light turns a little more amber or a little more yellow as the sun starts to go down. So about an hour before bed is when you start creating that a more relaxing, more calming atmosphere. That's not when you should be working out an hour before. You shouldn't be having a party. You shouldn't be like doing something that's stimulating. You want to create something that's going to calm your body down. For me, it's heading upstairs, keeping the lights off. I don't turn the lights off in my bathroom. We have a connected closet, so I just turn the light on the closet. Wash my face, brush my teeth. If you don't have a connected closet, maybe it's in your bedroom, not in the bathroom, that you have the light on, and then you turn the light off when you go in your bedroom. But just don't turn those bright lights, especially in the bathroom. We have the big lights right above the mirror. So bright. Again, not going to help you to fall asleep. I wash my face, brush my teeth, and then I take my magnesium glycinate. This is something that all of my clients are taking. If you're not taking it, you need to be. We as women, we lose magnesium as we age, and it helps with sleep, it helps with stress, it helps with anxiety, it helps with muscle recovery, so many things. It has a calming effect. So I take it every single night before I go to bed. If you want to know what brand I use, just send me a DM and I can let you know what that is. I can send you a message with that. So then everything's done in the bathroom. Turn the lights off, get into bed. We have one night light in our room. Not night light, it's a lamp by the bed, and it's on my husband's side. I don't want it on my side because I don't want it bright. It's a lighter colored light in the bulb, so it's not very bright. I get into bed and I use my essential oils. Serenity is the one that has been my favorite for years. It really helps to calm my system down, helps me to sleep. I also use vetiver or vetiver, however you want to say it. These both help to calm my body down and help me to sleep. I found these to be the best. They're supposed to help with sleep. And I will also take them if I wake up in the middle of the night. So if I wake up in the middle of the night thinking, tossing and turning, and I can't go back to sleep, I'll put them on the inside of my wrists. Nice big smell, and then that helps me to calm back down and go back to sleep. So when I put them on at night, I'll put them on around my ankles, on the bottoms of my feet, and then on the inside of my wrist, maybe on the back of my neck. I could bathe in them. And then I sometimes even put some drops on my pillows, right? So that's what I'm doing for my nighttime routine. Okay. If something else calming would be to take a hot bath, maybe do some journaling, maybe do some meditations. Sometimes I'll even just listen to like guided or not or meditation music, or what should I say? Sleep music, like insomnia music. They have them on YouTube. They have them on Insight Timer. Insight Timer is one of my favorite apps to use. Put them on, start even as you're getting ready for bed, or even have it on your phone. Just the noise and the music, the calming music, is going to help put you in a different state. Next, I climb into bed, put on my reading blue blockers, and I read my Kindle for about 30 to 40 minutes until I get tired, and then the lights off, and I go to sleep. So that's my nighttime routine. Okay, you also want to try to keep your bedroom around 64 to 66 degrees at night. This will help with those dreaded night sweats. Even though you may have them, it can help that because it'll keep it cooler in your room. And most often, just something to be aware of, if you are noticing that night sweats are waking you up a lot during the night, not only is it because your hormones are dropping, but it's because of the alcohol and the sugar and the highly processed foods that you're consuming. So keep that in mind when you think you need a glass of wine before bed or that bowl of ice cream because they're not helping you sleep at all. If anything, if you feel like you need to have something before you go to sleep, have something with protein, a scoop of a couple bites of yogurt, have a couple almonds. Sometimes I'll do almonds, a protein shake. You want to do protein or fat to help you if you feel like you need something else to go to sleep. What's important about this sleep routine is that it's consistent. So what that does is it allows your body to know when it's time to go to sleep and time to wake up instead of being confused because you're doing it at all different times, right? Even on the weekend, I keep my sleep time within an hour. I still always wake up no matter what, around 5:30, 6 o'clock, no matter what time I go to bed. But on the weekends, I'll stay up maybe an hour later. I'll stay up, between 9:30 and 10. I'm just tired. I want to go to bed. There's no reason for me to try and force myself to stay awake when I'm tired because if you force yourself and push yourself past the point where your melatonin is turning on and telling you it's time to go to bed, you're going to struggle to sleep the rest of the night. So that's just something to pay attention. Now, why is sleep so important? It's not just important for weight loss. It's not just important to keep that belly fat off, but it's essential for development of your body, conservation of energy, clearing the brain of waste, healing the body, maintaining the immune system, as well as cognitive functions, including focus and emotional regulation, right? We talked about all that. So it's not only going to help you lose weight, but it's also going to keep you healthy and allow your brain to function and keep you from having crazy mood swings. So by prioritizing your sleep, you're taking proactive steps towards regulating your hormones, managing your stress, and making healthier food choices. And what's that going to do? That's going to lead to helping with your weight loss journey in menopause and beyond, because it's going to be harder. It's not impossible, but it's going to be harder as you're going through this phase. So if you take these steps, take these little things that I've talked about this week and start utilizing them in your life, I promise you, you're going to start to feel better. You're going to have better energy. You're going to sleep better. All the things that you're struggling with right now, you'll see things start to happen. Okay, so that is all for today. Sleep one was pretty quick because it's a matter of just developing a sleep routine. Figure out what your body needs and make it happen and keep it consistent. Figure out what's going to work best for you. Your nighttime routine doesn't have to look like mine, but it has to look like something. Has to be something. It can't be, I'm going to watch TV with all the lights on and then I'm going to jump in bed and try to go to sleep. It's not going to happen. It just isn't, I promise. Unless you're exhausted, and if you're exhausted, then it's not good sleep anyway. So please share your biggest takeaway from today's training and ask any questions. If I didn't answer something, please ask. I'm here to help. This is what I want to do. That's what this whole week is about, is teaching you about how you can better your life and manage these menopausal symptoms that are going on. I appreciate you joining me. I hope that you are getting something out of these trainings. And if you are, please let me know because I would really appreciate that and love to hear it. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about how stress is keeping you overweight and unhappy. It's the one thing, this I think it's the second important thing that we need to focus on is the stress part. And for some of us, it may be the hardest. But hopefully I can share some tips to help you move past that. I hope to see you there tomorrow. Have a fabulous rest of your day. Goodbye. Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks and Hormones podcast. And if you found this helpful, I would love for you to share it with your friends by sharing it in your stories and tagging me on Instagram at Fit Chicks and Hormones or on Facebook at Angie Marone. And if you have a free minute, a review would be great too. Feel free to message me with any questions either on Facebook or Instagram. I love helping women move through their hormonal years with ease.